Second part of chapter 22, stealing the garments of the unmarried gopi girls. So in last time we had class, we heard the entire pastime of Krishna stealing the garments of the gopis to satisfy their desires, because they all prayed to Krishna that he would be their husband. And it was decided by Krishna that they would wait one more year, and then he would properly satisfy their desires. And of course, that would be his eighth year when he would perform the Rasa Leela. Later, Krishna, in the company of his cowherd boyfriends, took shelter of the shade of trees and became very happy. Thus he addressed the inhabitants of Vrindavan. My dear Stoka Krishna, my dear Varuttapa, my dear Bhadrasen, my dear Sudama, my dear Subal, my dear Arjuna, my dear Vishal, my dear Rishabha, just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan. They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rain, scorching heat, and piercing cold. But they are very careful to relieve our fatigue and give us shelter. My dear friends, I think they are glorified in this birth as trees. They are so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated, charitable men who never deny charity to one who approaches them. No one is denied shelter by these trees. They supply various kinds of facilities to human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruit, shade, roots, bark, flavor extracts, and fuel. They are the perfect example of noble life. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything, his body, mind, activities, intelligence, and words, for the welfare of all living entities. So as we begin another Krishna book class, I am again reminded how powerful is this presentation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by Srila Prabhupada. This book is so special that if you remain meek and humble, and if you just try to hear without letting the mind get in the way, if you simply become absorbed in the narration, it can transport you to Vrindavan. So I encourage and urge you to try to attentively hear this narration, and hopefully you will get a glimpse into Vrindavan. Let us continue. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead walked on the bank of the Yamuna, touching the leaves of the trees and their fruits, flowers, and twigs, and praising their glorious welfare activities. Different people may accept certain welfare activities to be beneficial for human society according to their own views. But the welfare activity that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone should be prepared to propagate this movement as instructed by Lord Chaitanya. One should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. The toleration of the tree is explained by Lord Krishna himself. And those who are engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness should learn lessons from the teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya through direct disciplic succession. And this section that we're reading here, where Krishna has just explained to the cowherd boys the nobility of taking birth as a tree, especially in the land of Vrindavan, this was again reiterated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is a very nice chapter in the Adi Lila which describes the Chaitanya tree. And there is a nice soliloquy given by Lord Chaitanya where he orders every man to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it. And he specifically points out those who have taken birth as Indians, those who have taken birth in Bharatavarsha, they have an even more special, extra special responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness. And when Lord Chaitanya was speaking this, as recorded in the Adi Lila, chapter 9 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he makes reference to some of these statements made by Krishna regarding the nobility of trees, how they just give and sacrifice for the benefit of others. Let us continue. While passing through the forest of Vrindavan on the bank of the Yamuna, Krishna sat down at a beautiful spot and allowed the cows to drink the cold and transparent water of the Yamuna. Being fatigued, the cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram, also drank. After seeing the young gopis bathe in the Yamuna, Krishna passed the rest of the morning with the boys. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 22nd chapter of Krishna, entitled Stealing the Garments of the Unmarried Gopi Girls. So we'll do questions and answers later. I think we should now proceed to the next chapter, chapter number 23, Delivering the Wives of the Brahmins Who Performed Sacrifices. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 23. The morning passed, and the cowherd boys were very hungry because they had not eaten breakfast. They immediately approached Krishna and Balaram and said, "Dear Krishna and Balaram, you are both all-powerful. You can kill many, many demons. But today we are much afflicted with hunger, and this is disturbing us. Please arrange for something that will mitigate our hunger." Requested in this way by their friends, Lord Krishna and Balaram arranged to show compassion to certain wives of Brahmins who were performing sacrifices. These wives were great devotees of the Lord, and Krishna took this opportunity to bless them. He said, "My dear friends, please go to the house of the Brahmanas nearby. They are now engaged in performing Vedic sacrifices known as Angiras, for they desire elevation to the heavenly planets. All of you, please go to them." Then Lord Krishna warned his friends, "These Brahmins are not Vaishnavas. They cannot even chant our names, Krishna and Balaram. They are very busy in chanting the Vedic hymns, although the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to find me." That immediately reminds us of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15. And we have seen that Prabhupada has quoted that verse several times in these Krishna book purports, where Krishna says, "Vedaishcha sarvair aham eva vedya, Vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham." They are very busy in chanting the Vedic hymns, although the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to find me. But because they are not attracted by the names of Krishna and Balaram, you had better not ask them for anything in my name. Better ask for some charity in the name of Balaram. Charity is generally given to high-class brahmanas, but Krishna and Balaram did not appear in a Brahmin family. Balaram was known as the son of Vasudev, a Kshatriya, and Krishna was known in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is a Vaishya. Neither belonged to the Brahmana community. Therefore, Krishna considered that the Brahmanas engaged in performing sacrifices might not be induced to give charity to a Kshatriya and a Vaishya. But at least if you utter the name of Balaram, they may prefer to give in charity to a Kshatriya rather than to me, because I am only a Vaishya. Being thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the boys went to the Brahmins and began to ask for some charity. They approached them with folded hands and fell down on the ground to offer respect. O earthly gods, kindly hear us, who are ordered by Lord Krishna and Balaram. We hope you know them both very well, and we wish you all good fortune. Krishna and Balaram are tending cows nearby, and we have accompanied them. We have come to ask for some food from you. You are all Brahmins and knowers of religious principles. And if you think that you should give us charity, then give us some food, and we shall all eat along with Krishna and Balaram. You are the most respectable Brahmins within the human society, and you are expected to know all the principles of religious procedure. Although the boys were village boys and were not expected to be learned in all the Vedic principles of religious ritual, they hinted that because of their association with Krishna and Balaram, they knew all those principles. By addressing the Brahmanas as knowers of all religious principles, the boys expressed the point of view that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram, were asking for food, the Brahmins should immediately deliver some without hesitation because, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one should perform yajna sacrifices only for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Of course, that is in chapter 3, verse 9. Yagyartha karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandana, where Krishna directly tells Arjuna that if one does not perform works for the satisfaction of Vishnu, because that is what is yajna, then one will simply become entangled by whatever one is doing. The boys continued, Lord Vishnu, as Krishna and Balaram, is standing waiting, and you should immediately deliver whatever food you have in your stock. They also explained to the Brahmins that when food is to be accepted and when it is not to be accepted. Generally, the Vaishnavas, or pure devotees of the Lord, do not take part in ordinary sacrificial performances. But they know very well the ceremonials called Diksha, Pashu Sangstha, and Sautramani. One is permitted to take food after the procedure of Diksha and before the animal sacrificial ceremony and the Sautramani, or ceremony in which liquors are also offered. There is a nice statement in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, and this mention of liquors, and it is stated there that when such liquors are offered, one does not taste them, but one smells them. That is the difference. Continuing, the boy said, we can take your food at the present stage of your ceremony. For now it will not be prohibited. so you can deliver us the food. Although the companions of Lord Krishna and Balaram were simple cowherd boys, they were in a position to dictate even to the high-class Brahmins engaged in Vedic rituals of sacrifice. But the smarter Brahmanas, who were simply sacrificial-minded, could not understand the dictation of the transcendental devotees of the Lord. They could not even appreciate the begging of the Supreme Lord Krishna and Balaram. Although they heard all the arguments on behalf of Krishna and Balaram, they did not care for them, and they refused to speak to the boys. Despite being highly elevated in the knowledge of Vedic sacrificial rites, all such non-devotee Brahmins, although they think of themselves as very highly elevated, are ignorant, foolish persons. All their activities are childish because they do not know the purpose of the Vedas, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, to understand Krishna. In spite of their advancement in Vedic knowledge and rituals, they do not understand Krishna. Therefore, their knowledge of the Vedas is useless. Lord Chaitanya therefore gave his valuable opinion that although a person may not be born in a Brahmin family, if he knows Krishna or the science of Krishna consciousness, he is more than a Brahmin and he is quite fit to become a spiritual master. Of course, the verse that's referenced is Kiba vipra kiba nase sudra kene noi ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. That verse appears in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. There are various details to be observed in the performance of sacrifices. They are known as desha, the place, kala, time, prithag dravya, the different detailed paraphernalia, mantra, hymns, tantra, scriptural evidences, agni, fire, ritvik, learned performance of sacrifice, devata, the demigods, yajaman, the performer of the sacrifices, kratu, the sacrifice itself, and dharma, the procedures. All these are for satisfying Krishna. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the actual enjoyer of all sacrifices because he is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Absolute Truth beyond the conception of speculation of the material senses. So, of course, the famous verse, Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam. Krishna says, I am the actual enjoyer of all penance and austerities. And where it says here, beyond the conception or speculation of the material senses, therefore Krishna's name, Adhok Shaja. He is present just like an ordinary human boy. But for persons who identify themselves with the body, it is very difficult to understand him. The Brahmanas were very much interested in the comforts of the material body and in elevation to the higher planetary residences called Swargavas. They were therefore completely unable to understand the position of Krishna. Because we learn from Bhagavad Gita in at least three different separate verses how to understand Krishna? Bhakti-yamam abhijanati. It is only by devotional service can we understand Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very clear that to perform devotional service means to engage in shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Let us continue. When the boys saw that the Brahmanas could not reply to them, even with a simple yes or no, they became very much disappointed. They then returned to Lord Krishna and Balaram and explained everything that had happened. After hearing their statements, the Supreme Personality of Godhead smiled. He told them that they should not be sorry for being refused by the Brahmanas, because that is the way of begging. He convinced them that one who is engaged in collecting or begging should not think that he will be successful everywhere. He may be unsuccessful in some places, but that should not be the cause for disappointment. And this here is something I apply in regards to preaching, that if you are a preacher, you should also understand that the same thing is going to happen. A preacher is also a beggar. So we should know that when we go out to preach, it's not always going to be successful. Sometimes it'll be successful, sometimes it won't. Or let's say you go out for distributing Prabhupada's books. You go for the marathon. You go for book distribution. Some people will take the book, others will not. No need to be disappointed or discouraged. So this advice by Krishna to the cowherd boys is very practical for devotees. Lord Krishna then asked all the boys to go again, but this time to the wives of those brahmanas engaged in sacrifices. He also informed them that these wives were great devotees. They are always absorbed in thinking of us. Go there and ask for some food in my name and the name of Balaram, and I am sure that they will deliver you as much food as you desire. Carrying out Krishna's order, the boys immediately went to the wives of the brahmanas. They found the wives sitting inside the brahman's house. They were very beautifully decorated with ornaments. After offering them all respectful obeisances, the boy said, "Dear mothers, please accept our humble obeisances and hear our statement. May we inform you that Lord Krishna and Balaram are nearby. They have come here with the cows, and you may know also that we have come here under their instructions. All of us are very hungry. Therefore, we have come to you for some food. Please, give us something to eat for Krishna and Balaram and ourselves." Immediately upon hearing this, the wives of the Brahmins became anxious for Krishna and Balaram. These reactions were spontaneous. They did not have to be convinced of the importance of Krishna and Balaram. Immediately upon hearing their names, they became very eager to see them. Being advanced by thinking of Krishna constantly, they were performing the greatest form of mystic meditation. All the wives then became very busily engaged in filling up different pots with nice food. So here's a point, something that I make often in some of my lectures, that such devotees like the wives of the Brahmins, the gopis, they also did meditation, but not the meditation that most people think, where you sit down in a yoga posture and you chant Om. No, this is different. This is bhakti meditation. The gopis are the greatest meditators. Why? Because they're always thinking of Krishna no matter what they're doing. They may be working, they may be sleeping, they may be playing, whatever they're doing, the gopis are constantly thinking of Krishna. Here also, these wives of the Brahmins, being advanced by thinking of Krishna constantly. That is how we do meditation. So if anyone ever says to you, "Oh, you devotees, you don't do meditation," you can respond, "No, we do meditation. We meditate on Krishna, His name, fame, form, pastimes, and His service." So constantly we are engaged in meditation. But we don't do the kind of meditation that you do. We do bhakti meditation. Let us continue. All the wives then became very busily engaged in filling up different pots with nice food. Due to the performance of the sacrifice, the various foods were all very palatable. After collecting a feast, they prepared to go to Krishna, their most beloved object, exactly in the way rivers flow to the sea. Same thing that Queen Kunti prayed in her prayers to Krishna. We see in the first canto, chapter 8, when Krishna is about to get on the chariot to return to Dwaraka, leaving Hastinapur. Kunti stops him and prays, and one of her prayers is exactly this: My Lord, let my attraction be to you, and let my devotion be to you unobstructed, as the rivers flow to the sea. For a long time, the wives had been eager to see Krishna. However, when they were preparing to leave home to go see him, their husbands, fathers, sons, and relatives asked them not to go. But the wives did not comply. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he does not care for bodily ties. And there are many devotees, myself included. Yes, when Prabhupada called, then we didn't care whether or not our parents approved or disapproved. We heard Prabhupada's call, and we decided to join Prabhupada. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he does not care for bodily ties. The women entered the forest of Vrindavan on the bank of the Yamuna, which was verdant with vegetation and newly grown vines and flowers. Within that forest, they saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in tending the cows along with their very affectionate friends. The Brahmana's wives saw Krishna with a blackish complexion, wearing a garment that glittered like gold. He wore a nice garland of forest flowers and a peacock feather on his head. He was also painted with the minerals found in Vrindavan. And he looked exactly like a dancing actor on a theatrical stage. They saw him resting one hand on the shoulder of his friend, and in his other hand he was holding a lotus flower. His ears were decorated with lilies. He wore marks of tilak, and he was smiling charmingly. With their very eyes, the wives of the Brahmins saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of whom they had heard so much, and who was so dear to them, and in whom their minds they were always absorbed. Now they saw him eye to eye and face to face, and Krishna entered within their hearts through their eyes. Within themselves, they began to embrace Krishna to their heart's content, and the distress of separation was mitigated immediately. They were just like sages who, by their advancement of knowledge, merge into the existence of the Supreme. As the Supersoul living in everyone's heart, Lord Krishna could understand their minds. They had come to him despite all the protests of their relatives, fathers, husbands, and brothers, and despite all the duties of household affairs. They came just to see him who was their life and soul. They were exactly following Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. And of course, the verse Prabhupada is referring to, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ang tvang sarva papibhyo mokshashami ma suchaha. One should surrender to him, giving up all varieties of occupational and religious duties. He therefore began to speak to them smiling very magnificently. It should be noted in this connection that when Krishna entered into the wives' hearts, and when they embraced him and felt the transcendental bliss of being merged with him, the Supreme Lord Krishna did not lose his identity, nor did the individual wives lose theirs. The individuality of both the Lord and the wives remained, yet they felt oneness in existence. When a lover submits to his lover without any pinch of personal consideration, that is called oneness. Lord Chaitanya has taught us this feeling of oneness in his Shikshashtakam. Krishna may act freely, doing whatever he likes, but the devotee should always be in oneness or in agreement with his desires. Of course, that is the final verse of Shikshashtakam. Ashlishyava pararitang pinashtu mam, adarshanan mamahatang karotu va, yata tata va vidid hatu lampato, matprana natastu saiva naparaha. That oneness was exhibited by the wives of the Brahmins in their love for Krishna. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Gajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Brahmacari Jamuna Tira Brahmacari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, so now we'll do